Welcome to the David Bowie's Ghost podcast. My name is Jen.
And I'm Daniel. And on this podcast, we explore the mystical realms of channeling through Jen and I's experiences communing with the other side.
As well as our shared love of music, art, and the sacred connection between creativity and healing.
If you like what you hear, please join our community on Patreon to gain access to the various offerings we are guided to share.
We invite you to be our companions on this ride as we embrace our own strange design.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Daniel.
Well, here we are again. Episode number 3 in a slightly different location, somewhere in West Hollywood, adjusting to new surroundings and to new developments in each of our journeys and stories and seeing where today will take us. I know that you have had some recent experiences and emotions arise in relationship to your body and the privilege, though we don't always see it that way, the privilege that we get to come into a body and to use it to its fullest extent, creatively and otherwise. So I will lead off there and see wherever you're guided to take us.
Thank you, Daniel. I have been thinking a lot this week, the past couple days, about this idea of our spirit living on, and perhaps we will never have our spirit in a body again, and I don't know. It made me think about, what am I doing? Am I creating enough? What is, a spirit without a body, right? You don't have hands. You can't touch. You can't make anything. So it just makes me think, while I'm here, I want to be using my gifts, and I want to be, telling people, who I love, that I love them, and hugging them. Just it's making me realize that this is a place for us to create and to take advantage of it. And I just felt almost a sense of sadness when I imagined not being able to create somewhere else or make my friends dinner. So I'm just really trying to appreciate my time here, because I feel like we're going to have a lot of time as a spirit somewhere else. So yeah, I hope this encourages other people to create, use your hands, touch, and just be aware of the connection between the spirit, the body, and the mind, because we might not ever have that again.
It's interesting to consider that, your sort of revelation and newfound kind of reflection and insight around the body, and not just you, for many of us, mm-hmm. that it may come once awakening to the idea that there is actually more, that there may be more, which is in some ways ironic, because if you consider many people who have no spiritual beliefs or no sense that there's anything more, many of us take the body for granted or have trouble with a deeper level of appreciation and gratitude. And I include myself in that category, because I've had a difficult relationship with my body in the past, but coming to really see its gifts and its and not necessarily its spiritual gifts, but its very human gifts, its very physical gifts, which are in fact, spiritual as well, but it doesn't have to include some super fancy or abstract, intuitive, energetic part. It can, yeah, like you said, it can simply be our capacity to use our hands, which are tools, our creators, mm-hmm. our hands are creators. And it's interesting that sometimes it takes awakening beyond the body or seeing that there is more to then come back into the body and be willing to really appreciate it, nurture it, care for it, respect it, honor it, learn from it, and use it to its fullest extent, which I think a lot of us may simply be encumbered by it or attempt to escape it. And there's a lot of beauty, as you're speaking to, in sinking back into it and finding gratitude for what we can really do with this thing, this human machine.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people slow down as they get older. They, you know, stop practicing or creating, you know, whether it's art or taking photographs. Even like, I'm just thinking about like, if you're, you know, dating, like, I imagine you're probably not, you know, having sex with other spirits. I mean, maybe you are, but I mean, it's in physical touch. I mean, just there are so many things to appreciate here. I don't know. I just was sort of overwhelmed by the sadness, actually. I also am starting to feel like I can feel maybe my spirit in past lives. I'm getting a vision of this, and it's sort of speaking to me and saying, yeah, it's been a long time since you've been here. I mean, I don't know if I've only been on Earth one other time. I'm not sure I'll ever know. Maybe I will. But yeah, there's all of a sudden this new desire to be using my hands and to, I don't know, maybe learn to play an instrument. I'm not sure what it is, but if there's something calling to you, do it, and do it now, because I don't think we're going to be able to do it when we leave here.
It reminds me of some of the conversation we were having earlier, which is, you know, those in the spirit realm may be experiencing a level of bliss or just a really pure divine feeling that is absent of any of the more toxic, lower, you know, human emotions. And that sounds amazing. And I believe I said in an earlier episode, you know, I'm looking forward to ecstasy. I'm looking forward to whatever that frequency is. And yet there is something unique about this experience, about being able to having the privilege to be embodied, though for many of us, like we've also spoken to, it's a rough ride. It can be. And for some, it is a very, very rough ride. And sometimes the whole ride is rough and it ends rough. So it's not to say that for everyone, it really feels quite like a privilege or an opportunity. And yet, if we do have the opportunity, if we do have the invitation to see it as a privilege, even when the body gets thrown around, it provides this perspective, this higher perspective about how to really use our time here. And I think it can really bring different values into play and different values to the surface to appreciate, like you said, the sensuality of the body, the sexuality of the body, just to feel. We spend so much of our time and we are conditioned, most of us, to avoid our feelings, but it's actually a privilege to feel even the ones like sadness, even the things that we ultimately would rather experience less of and experience more joy or other things. If we can practice holding a perspective that there is a gift in being able to experience the range of these things that afterward we may not. We may, you know, it's like, I liken it to, you know, moving out to California, where typically it's nice most of the year, and that's great. But there's something cool about the change of seasons. And for me personally, I'm pretty clear that I want to experience joy as much as I possibly can. And I don't really, I wouldn't say I have a need to experience. I've experienced the range of things, and there are plenty of things in that range that I wouldn't really choose to have again. But at the same time, I can, in my best moments, appreciate the ability to have that range and to consider that, you know, maybe this is a blip, and following this blip, it's a more consistent, pleasant, but consistent state of being, and the opportunity for change, for growth, for overcoming, for moving through, for surrendering and releasing, that all of that is a part of the privilege and the gift and the medicine of being here.
My soul is still speaking to me. It's saying, yeah, this has been a very, very long time. A very, very long time that you haven't felt any of these things. And there was something in me that was really missing this experience. And it's hit me really hard, you know, enjoy it now. And while I'm thinking about this, I'm also considering the idea that while there might be one space where we go, where we, I don't know, float around like Jimi Hendrix, and we're euphoric, and everything just, you know, feels sparkly and effervescent, maybe there are other places that we go that we are in more of a human form. I'm seeing sort of another level, another place. It almost looks like people are holograms. And I don't know, to me, it seems like it's something new-ish. I don't know if it's new to me or if this is a new realm, but it's a different level. Would that be a realm or would that be a level? Is it the same thing?
You tell me, Jen.
I don't know. Sorry. I'm new to all this. But everything, well, not that new. Everything has just felt so in sync lately. I really haven't even felt really like I've been giving much effort to anything, and everything sort of falls into place. And as this continues to grow, I feel even we're shifting right now and shifting into a different place where things are just becoming easier. And it's, if I step back and I think about it, it's confusing. But if I just breathe through it, it makes complete sense that we're sort of working our way up to different levels.
It's safe to say you're receiving a lot of information right now, and you're doing your best to sort through it. And you're not sure if something is a realm or a level or
trying.
A dimensional plane or a place or not a place. And it's going to be complex. And what I'll say about places we may go. Oh, the places you go. Yeah, maybe Dr. Seuss wrote about these kinds of places. Is that, you know, from some of the language I hear from Bashar, the entity that Daryl Anka channels, is that his ET race comes from a planet very much like ours, and in this frame, you know, there the multiverse exists, so there are iterations of Earth, and that their species evolved much further than ours at integrated AI and things like that. And that at this point, they are a bit less or significantly less physical than we are. So there's just less density, and you might call their experience more spiritual or energetic, in the sense that they see in their reality multiple dimensional planes. So they see different spirits and entities walking around that are not physical. So from that perspective, we could potentially see a path for us where we do evolve to become less dense. I hear others sort of interchange the word dense with dimension. So fourth dimension, fourth density. I don't exactly know what that means, but I would interpret it more in terms of, you know, if the physical body is sort of the densest matter, as we get less and less dense and come into more and more of our spiritual essence, yeah, things may change. Our reality will certainly change. What we see, what we perceive, our senses would change. And I remember this. Someone asked a question to Bashar when I saw him in person about what he does for fun, which was a very funny question. He first said, "Well, we watch you." Which was very funny, because he does claim to be on the first contact committee, so to speak, contact with us. But then he also answered in a very serious manner and said that he liked pottery. And so someone asked him what he makes, what kind of pottery. And he said, "Well, we use materials that you don't yet have here on your planet." And he began to describe that, you know, that they exist in a sort of, not necessarily a qualitatively or like mutually exclusive dimensional plane, but one that is just less dense, less matter. So there are other resources, you might say, more energetic, and you can maybe create things without using the hands, without using the physical body. So it's interesting to note that though there may be sadness, loss, and grief for what we may no longer be able to utilize at one point with the purely physical human body, that there may be other things, other capacities to create with as we evolve in whichever way we may be going.
One of the things that I love so much about our conversations is that we see completely different, not completely different things, but we are both seeing, you know, these different spaces, and we come back together and we share, and it's just, it's very safe, and I don't feel like I'm on the wrong track, because I feel like maybe we all go different places.
Maybe there are infinite tracks.
Sure. Maybe this is one big hallucination, and we are all seeing our stories completely differently, and they all end and restart.
And I'll say one thing about that idea of the hallucination, because because you've mentioned that a few times, and I hear other people talk about maybe we're all in some
test tube,
yeah, or some projection, or some virtual reality, or something.
Truman Show.
I would say, from my perspective, on some level, that's true, except that we are the projectors. We are the projectors, and yes, we are. We are created, you know. But we are also the creators, and on one level, which aligns with other spiritual philosophies such as Buddhism and other spiritual teachings, it is that the mind itself is the creator. And if we were to peel back what's behind the physical body, what's behind the emotional body, what's behind these different levels of what we call body, we might come upon at some point what we call the mind, which I perceive to be a purely energetic entity. Maybe it's more than that. I can't say. There seem to be different levels of mind, you know, a lower or an unconscious or a primitive mind that is connected purely to human experiences, and more of a higher mind, a mind connected more to the soul, to the soul's journey, and to oneself as a spirit, and to the many lives and experiences that have played out at that level. And maybe the point of this is to, on some level, awaken to the higher mind, or to begin to listen to that higher mind. The point being that, on some level, the mind itself may be however we conceive of the mind, not as the brain, which it gets confused to be a lot of the time. People use that interchangeably, but as a more energetic or spiritual entity. Maybe our minds are the projectors. And yes, can there be a higher collective mind, and can the levels go up, ultimately coalescing in what we might call some divine mind or intelligence? Absolutely. But I also think it can be useful just to see that on the more individual level, soul level, however we want to refer to it, individual mind level, that our minds are the projectors, that we are the ones projecting our own hallucination. Because I think sometimes we can get a little, and this will be very funny for me to say, and hypocritical, that I say we get a little carried away in sort of this sci-fi projection, because here I am talking about aliens and such. But at least for me, when people start talking about, yeah, we're just a world and some big alien's marble, like, sure, I guess, you know, if I'm talking about infinite possibilities and frames, it's possible. But for me, it's more resonant when we speak about a word like hallucination or projection, that the way to sort of awaken is to recognize that it is our mind that is doing the projecting. It is our mind, on some level, that has chosen to project this particular Netflix drama, this particular story, and that as we awaken, while we're still in the human form, we don't leave the story. We don't, like, necessarily wake up out of the drama and leave it behind. Maybe eventually we do, but while we're here, I think there's this dance we do about recognizing we're the projector and still living in the story. People throw the word Matrix around a lot, which is one of my favorite movies. I love The Matrix, but I will say that when people just continue to say, oh, you wake up out of The Matrix, you gotta leave The Matrix, you know, on some level, we still live in the Matrix. Like, you're not totally waking up to live amongst the robots or whatever, if you want to use the movie as an analogy. We're still playing out the stories while we're here. And I think as we continue to awaken, the story certainly changes, and we can poke holes in it, and we can see through it. But, you know, at least for now, it seems like we still dance within the story. We still play out the relationships. We still do the transactional stuff. At least I do. I haven't been guided to fully escape the projection just yet.
Well, several things. I can't say I've even seen The Matrix.
Oh my God, that's insane. You have to watch it.
So, I don't think we're in a marble. Maybe we're in a test tube, and maybe they'll let us out. But I don't feel like that.
Could it be possible? I mean, if we were in a test tube, and we played out that idea for a second, I think if the entire collective, if there was some undeniable event that took place, and the collective human race acknowledged, yep, it's proven, we're all in a test tube. You know, I wonder how people would react. Would they start to sort of shirk all responsibility for their lives? Would they say, well, we're just being controlled by some bigger entity, so what the fuck is the point of doing any of this anyway? You know, it would be interesting to see how different people react, because on one level, yes, people might recognize things that are inherently less important. And yet on another level, I feel it would also still be true that even if on some greater level, there is a plan, there is a tube, there are other creators, which I do believe, we are still creators. We are still a part of the divine, and we still have agency and free will to create what it's like inside this tube. That's a subtle fish reference.
Funny you said that, because I'm listening to some shows that I have not did not attend, fish shows, and I know all the jams, ones that I haven't heard before, one that, you know, got released yesterday, and I feel like I was there. I feel like I remember the music and that I've heard it before in a different lifetime and a different space. And as I'm listening to these songs, I'm getting images of, I don't know, maybe what I believe to be wherever I was recently, whether I was in heaven or in one of these other realms, and I came back down here for a reason. But I'm having some pretty intense, I keep saying flashbacks, because I feel like I've been there, and it's happening while I'm listening to the music. And I'm completely sober doing it. There's nothing else going on, but I feel like I'm literally like hallucinating and remembering, like I'm saying, parts of my past. And I'm a little confused, and I'm still, you know, a little freaked out.
And I will relate my own experience, which is, it is not the same as yours, but
not even close.
Not even close. But I will say that there is something similar about my relationship to fish, in not necessarily feeling as though I'd really been at some of the earlier shows that I love, some of the 90s stuff.
But it wasn't just being at the show. It was like the music. I felt like the music was somewhere else that I'd lived before.
Interesting. Yeah, I would just say that my love of fish has developed where, and this was very early on, I felt this deep nostalgia for the music that I never experienced. I felt nostalgic for something I hadn't actually experienced, which was a unique feeling for me. You know, usually you have nostalgia for times past, memories past. But there was some interesting feeling where, as I started to become the obsessive fan that I became, there was something about the music that triggered this deep longing, or like, I don't even know if I would have said almost like I was there, or almost like I heard it in another realm, or whatever, however you're feeling about it. But I definitely resonate with this feeling that felt unique to fish music. Maybe I felt it with The Dead and some other bands as well, but specifically fish, in this sort of nostalgia for music I was not present for. It's a beautiful feeling, and it's hard to capture. It's like I was, and sometimes I'll still feel like I'm missing it, like I'm sad for it, even though I wasn't there, and makes me think about how much time I have left in real time with the band. But maybe according to you, Jen, I won't have to worry too much about that, because they'll come with us wherever we go next.
They sure will, because I'm sure I've mentioned this before. I've been told that there is a great concert in the sky, and the space, once again, is heaven, and They're up there and they're playing, and yeah, we're going there, and we're going to the big concert in the sky. All right, so thinking about this, you know, sort of great concert in the sky, and just music in general, and feeling like you've heard something before. I feel like music can also be filtered through different realms or levels, and it's almost being like fed to us. And so that's why I think we have heard this before. Maybe these songs were, well, I guess this gives me hope, because if the songs are written somewhere else, then maybe we do have some tools to write these songs. Maybe they're not our hands, but maybe we're, I don't know, writing these songs with the wind, or...
I'll say, for me, all of creativity is channeled. All creativity mm-hmm. comes from a divine source.
Sure.
You know, artists, everyone who speaks, speaking is a creation. Speaking is a form of channeling. You know, we say that we use our mind, and most people, when they say that, they mean their brain, you know, their human mind, the ego mind. But, you know, how do you know that you are not receiving the information? In fact, you are. When you really acknowledge the process, you're listening. You're listening to the thoughts that come through. You can't point to the place. Maybe you can see it, Jen, but most people mm-hmm. do not know of the place or the reservoir of their creative ideas. It just flows through. And that's really where often the most beautiful music or other forms of art comes through, is when we get out of the way. So I fully believe or sense or feel that all creative product comes from a source beyond us, and at the same time within us, because we are connected to that divine source. And the other thing I'll say about music in other realms, or coming from other places, or places you or I have been before, is that for me, what makes sense within my frame and language is that music operates at the level of frequency and vibration, which at one layer is what we all are, what all matter is, what all of the universe operates at is vibration and frequency. And so it makes sense to me that music then, you know, these particular frequencies exists in multiple dimensional planes. And maybe there's better music in other realms. Certainly there's something to be said for the uniquely human gift of creating music on this planet. But it does make sense to me that on the level of resonance, frequency, and vibration, music would exist elsewhere as well.
I mean, I feel like I came with this music. I feel like I arrived on Earth with the music of fish. I feel like it literally reminds me of home. And especially in the last couple years, it's reminding me, it's almost like someone's sending me signs. Like, this is what your past life looked like. This is what it looks like up in heaven. And I feel like I'm being sent these reminders through different jams, through fish songs, through just through sound. Like, I feel like we arrived here, perhaps we were planted here together with this music, and maybe we have a bigger mission that we have yet to figure out what that is.
Well, it's a beautiful idea to consider that we're here not only each of us with a spiritual mission, but equipped with music, equipped potentially with music that comes from elsewhere, that is divinely channeled, and maybe fish is the conduit for that. Maybe other bands are the other creators of the conduit for that. Maybe we too are the conduit for that. Maybe all creators, all artists are the conduit for divinely channeled music, or it's always possible. I don't know. Maybe for some it's Metallica, but maybe for us it's fish. And so then what is the mission, Jen? What did we come here equipped with divine music to do?
All right, so we actually took a little break because I am remembering how new all of this is and how difficult it is to talk about something that I can't prove and I can't explain. And it's hard to talk about all of this because for me, it's new. I know for other people, it might not be. And some others, they might not ever talk about spirituality and all of this stuff that we're discussing and spirits visiting us. So if you're feeling uncomfortable, know that I hope you find somebody who you can talk to that makes you feel safe to talk about it, and that maybe this conversation is giving you a little bit of courage to start speaking your own truth.
I think on some level, this project, this experiment is really just for Jen and I. And yes, it's for others too, but we're navigating it with all of you, with everyone who chooses to listen mm-hmm. to this, because Jen and I get ourselves into positions where, you know, one of us says something and we start to feel a little uncomfortable with what's been shared. And we have the privilege and the benefit to pause and talk about it. And I think that's such a gift that the two of us can process our relationship, to process the things we're unfolding in real time, and to keep coming back to it rather than, like, I don't know, being a guest on some interview show and getting challenged and triggered and then leaving and never coming back. We have a relationship on this podcast and a friendship and a chance to stay with the feelings and to hit pause and then to come back and to say, yeah, some of the things we've been sharing actually felt a little uncomfortable because some of it may feel prescriptive at times. Some of it may use language that we know will be triggering for other people. And I think this is just part of what we signed up for. I don't think we really fully knew what we signed up for, I think we're learning that part of this is what we signed up for, is to work through the feelings and see if we can stay flexible and open and true to our experience at the end of the day, not prescribing what is or will be true for others, but simply staying true enough to our experience that others can find resonance with their own. Because it's scary, it feels taboo. It can feel ego-driven. It can feel like all kinds of things. It can certainly come across in certain ways. Some of the language we're using, some of the theories we're unfolding, and some of what is really just us being playful with the messaging, with the channeling. This is information that is coming through us, but we're in real time sifting through what to do with it, what to make of it. It's challenging, but I think it's important work because oftentimes we're asked to take responsibility for our words, which is important. Words do matter. And yet, how many spaces do we have to unfold what our words are, what our language is, without necessarily having to stand up in court to defend it or defend an opinion or a belief? Because in some ways, you know, what we may be referring to as channeling, it's not necessarily based in opinion. It's not necessarily based in belief. It's mostly based in listening. In listening, sharing, witnessing, and then together unfolding what could possibly be true. What could possibly be a path? And in some ways, from my perspective, the path will always remain, at least in part, a mystery, because to me, that seems a part of the path, that if we had it all figured out, we wouldn't necessarily be here. But certainly there are levels to this game that I feel I may be waking up to, that Jen feels she may be waking up to, that others may be feeling they're waking up to as well. And ultimately, it may only be one game, and others may be playing out different games that are equally as true and resonant to them. It's not really clear to us, but we are choosing to embrace it, to walk our paths, and to unfold this at times pretty fucking crazy sounding information, and trust the unfolding. And so I honor your courage, Jen, and I am grateful to be on this journey with you, both on the podcast and off of it, because we get to work through the feelings together and come back to safety.
Thank you for making me feel safe to talk about this, Daniel. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you very much.
It is my pleasure and my highest honor and intention to hold that space of safety, which you do for me as well. And so I think that's a beautiful place for us to wrap up our third and quite exploratory episode on David Bowie's Ghost. So with that said, we will look forward to reconvening next time and seeing where the hell we go next. Thanks for tuning in. If you would like to connect, please follow the podcast on Instagram at @DavidBowies_ghost, or follow us individually at @JenKesslerArt and at @Dr. Daniel_Atkins.
David Bowie's Ghost looks forward to visiting with you again.